Walk through this morning and get done what I need to get done. So good to be here this morning, and happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. And it's a great honor and privilege to have my grandmother here. And so happy Mother's Day to you, my mom, this morning. So good to have you, and my grandpa as well is here. And so good to have you with us as well, Paul. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mother that's in heaven, and she is deeply missed, never forgotten, and I will see her soon. I will see her soon because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and she's there because she accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. And so there's this temporary time period where we don't see each other, but one day, after a while, we will. And the Lord, He will walk us through the glory land. And we will see loved ones, friends, and family. Most of all, we'll see Jesus. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the opportunity to go there. And so we appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate you. And I was teasing with you when I first stood up a second ago trying to get the Facebook Live going and jump in the choir and sing a little and be at an even pace to be able to talk through the morning announcements. So thank you for putting up with me sometimes. So good to be here. I do have several things I need to mention, and we have an eventful morning. I will say there's no PM service, and so that gives us more time to go this morning. And so I trust that you'll spend time today with your mother, grandmother, that person in your life who is over you and helping you, mentoring you today. Someone also has a birthday today. I believe it's Miss BJ's birthday. Happy birthday, Miss BJ. Happy birthday, Miss BJ. Happy Mother's Day, Miss BJ. Oh, happy day, Miss BJ. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Also want to recognize two ladies this morning. And and that is the late Reverend Johnny Watson's wife, Wilda, and daughter Diane are with us in service this morning. And I know I've never met you personally, never met your husband, but boy, I sure have heard great things about him and his ministry and you backing him through those years, and you, Miss Diane, as well. Thank you for coming to Calvary this morning. Please feel free to come anytime. A few prayer requests or announcements, actually. Miss Cece came through her surgery in a very great way on Friday. We met with her, had prayer before she went back. And she had a peace. She knew she was going home. The same day, she said, I know I'm going to be back at home today, so everything is fine and well. And that's a great assurance for Chuck and family and for me and us as a church. But she did have a pacemaker defibrillator installed, and so she's at home right now. I'm sure she's watching. Happy Mother's Day to you, Miss Cece. We're praying for you. We love you and Brother Chuck. And good to see Brother Bobby McClendon with us. He's been struggling with a low blood count, but he was up enough today to get here, wasn't it, brother? So good to see him. Happy Mother's Day, Miss Nancy. Dawn Capistrano is with us this morning. She had a surgery, and she's here. Tim Ledford had surgery on Friday. He's back at home. Praise the Lord. It was successful. Brother Leonard had some appointments coming up with his eye, so let's continue to pray for him and Miss Dolores. Brother Larry Bennett goes on Monday for a surgery follow-up concerning the thyroid gland they took out that was cancerous. So please take a moment and pray for Brother Larry and all of these others. Again, no PM service tonight. I do want to say this. On the 28th, that is the very last Sunday of the month, we will not have a PM service on that day. That's Memorial Day weekend. And we have a lot of people going out of town, including myself. We're going to go out of town for a couple days. And that morning, there will be service. Brother Allen, and I've asked Brother Allen Clayton to bring the word, so he is pulling double duties, triple duties, even maybe Sunday school. Maybe CJ can do Sunday school. You can do that. But this isn't our annual vacation. We go one time a year to the beach. That's going to be in July, but we are going to take a couple days, Saturday through Monday, and go up to Chattanooga and try to have a good couple days somewhere close to home. Also, I want to say a quick word on our Sunday Nights Plus meetings we've been having on Sunday nights down in our fellowship hall. We reached our fourth week, And based upon the reaction I've been getting from everyone, you kind of like it. Am I right about that? Say amen. All right. Well, we're certainly going to extend that 4 more weeks, and then we'll see where we're at the 4th week of the last 4th week of the meeting after we extend it 4 more weeks. So we'll continue that. Looking forward to seeing what the Lord has in store for that. And for those who do not know, we have our Sunday night services in our fellowship hall. We have refreshments, devotion, we have singing, and just interactive devotions even, which sometimes we allow, you know, the church to interact and questions, comments, things like that. And so it's been a good thing. So we're looking forward to continuing that. And last thing, First Steps class will continue next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I'm done now. And I want to go back here and take a seat and toss it back to Brother Allen. But are you happy here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's pray, and we'll toss it back to Brother Allen for the music this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we give you praise for everything that you've done. God, just slow our minds down a bit. Slow the pace down just a bit. Lord, help us to wait on you this morning, God. So much has been put into this service. We want to do it justly. So, Father, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just take hold of the service and use this service as a blessing to your people. Help us, Lord, as we do our best to honor mothers. We're just so thankful for mothers this morning. And Father, I pray that you'll just bless the message when it comes time to preach. I pray, Lord, that you'll give a liberty for the people of God to come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with you. So, Father, we love you today for everything that you have done, everything you're doing now, and the things that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
This morning in the house of the Lord, we're going to try and move on a little swiftly this morning. We've got a lot to try to pack in, so you pray for us. But if you'll take a hymn, we'll turn over to page number 393. Church stand, choir stand. Let's sing When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everybody sing out now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout
on the last. Good singing. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, no service this evening. And just spend some time, if you can, today with your mother, with your families. And I just pray the Lord just bless all of you today. I pray the Lord just keep us all safe, as I know a lot of folks will be traveling. But we're going to, again, go to the Lord in a word of prayer. But again, if you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary, especially on this special day today, as your place of worship. And we thank you for being here today. But let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Ask him this morning to be in our service. Pray for our pastor. Pray for the choir. We've got several specials, so pray for each one. And just pray that the Holy Spirit would so fill this place today that when we leave here, we'll be able to say that it's good to have been in the house of the Lord. Amen. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you for the opportunity that we have today. Lord, I thank you for every mother that is here today, every mother that is represented here today. Thank you for those that are visiting today with their mothers. Lord, what a blessing it is to see that. And Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I do pray that you'd be with the pastor this morning. Touch him. Speak through him. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the worship and the songs this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just receive glory in the house today. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, my prayer would be, Lord, if there'd be one here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, what a wonderful day it would be for them to come to know you as personal Savior. Lord, again, just fill this place with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you bless now the offering, both the gift and the giver. Give us a great day in your house. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone, you're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things he's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and he will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can't help but worship you. So I will lift Savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can help but speak your name, Lord. We're going to praise forevermore. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low,
now there's your gift. Amen. And I got to try and follow that. I want to be a little transparent with you this morning, if I can. And I just, this morning is, Mother's Day is always a little difficult for me, honestly. Because boy, do I miss my mother. But it's like I told my class this morning, I said, we have the greatest consolation in the world. And that is, because my mother accepted the Lord as her Savior, and because I have accepted the Lord as mine, Pastor, we're going to see each other again. In a land far better than this. There'll be a place there, no more crying, no more sorrows, and no more ends, Brother Don, forevermore. We will be able to praise our Lord together. So in heaven, happy Mother's Day. I sort of want to be a little transparent with you, and I will. I remember as a 15, 16-year-old kid, I had my daddy and I, we went and picked me out a car, Larry, a 73 Plymouth Barracuda. Yeah, wow, wow, I was right. That was the problem, wow. It was black, had that white racing strip down the side, the tires, you know, back then we called them mag wheels. We went, got a brand new set of mag wheels, me and Daddy did. We had the wider tires on the back and the more narrow on the front. Had that thing all jacked up on the back. You know, y'all don't remember much about that, but some of us do. And I recall as not making the greatest choices in my life at that time. A lot of times, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd come wheeling it home. Well, I lived on, some of y'all recognize this. Anybody remember Jones Shaw Road? Now that's Windy Hill for all of you younger folks over in Smyrna. And I lived on Rockin' Hill Lane. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, on unfortunately a lot of mornings. And y'all young people, don't listen to this like, hey, I'd like to try that. It's not to your best interest, okay? I don't say it very proudly, honestly. But Brother Don, screeching it down the road, I'd turn on to Rockin' Hill Lane, and I'd get just a little bit over the crest of that thing. And I forgot to say one thing. It was a manual transmission in the floor. I had the stick shift, you know. So you could cut it off and let her coast. And I did. And I would get over close to the driveway, and not only would I let it coast, but I'd also, CJ, turn the lights off when I got close enough to where I could see. And I'd roll down into the driveway and down into the yard, and very quietly I'd bring that old 73 Plymouth Barracuda to a standstill. And I'd get out, and I'd very easily push it in just enough to close it to get the lights to go off on the inside. You understand? And very quietly, I'd walk up to the back door. It was our den that had been built onto the house. We just had a little 3-bedroom, 1-bath house. Very small. And I would slip that door open. I wouldn't turn the lights on because I didn't want anybody to see me coming in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you see. And when I would close the door behind me, my eyes would begin to focus to the room, and I would see nothing but a silhouette of my precious mother sitting there. And here's what she would say, honestly. Thank you, Lord, for bringing my baby boy home safely again. She wouldn't say a word to me. She would slip up and go down the hallway back to the bedroom area, and I would go on back into my room, take off my clothes and get ready for bed, and I would hear her little bony knees hit the floor in the bathroom. And she would begin to pray for me. Brother Ceylon, I think, would she just please stop? But I'm thankful that she never did. And I am thankful for this. When Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. The angels spread their wings and stood prepared. And once again, Satan knew he'd been defeated. 'Cause God had heard my dear old mama's prayer. In my yester years of childhood, Mama taught me having fun. Sunday morning meeting, every time the church bells rung. And after our devotions, she'd lead me up those stairs where I first heard the echo of my dear old mama's prayers. And in this modern days of missiles, tanks and ships and guns, when men believe there's just one way that a war is ever won, well, I've had that secret weapon all the bombs cannot compare, for I've won 1,000 battles from my dear old mama's prayer. And when mama prayed, heaven paid attention. The angels spread their wings and stood prepared, and once again Satan knew he'd been defeated. 'Cause God had heard my dear old mama's prayer. If you could leave just one hand-me-down for this old mama's kid, just teach me how to pray like mama
did. Y'all got through singing before I got through listening, brother. My goodness. I love that song. Love old-time gospel music. How it stirs in the heart and in the soul. And I'm so thankful for the godly heritage I have. Some years I gleaned while my hero was alive, Berman Cape Jr., Floyd Road Baptist Church. That song actually made me think of when I first got saved. As my mother would attend church with me, and my dad as well, we would go down to the altar as a family. There needs to be a family altar. I believe there's a broken family altar in the day and time in which we live. If you don't know what I'm meaning, family altar, I mean a time to pray together. Time to ask God to help your family. Help mom and dad stay together. Help your children grow up and be thriving Christian teenagers. We need a family altar this morning. And by the help of the Lord, we will continue to have a family altar at the Hales House and within our family. I hope that's your prayer as well. 1 Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. While you're turning there, I would ask all the mothers to stay after the invitation just briefly as we have gifts prepared for you. If you are a mother in any capacity over a child, please stay and we will call you down at one time, and if you would line up in front of me, along the stage. We also have to receive your gift, and we also have a very special song for you. And we hope that you'll just take it all in because you deserve it. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and before we read, I'd like to say this, that in a God-designed home, you will find three H's. You'll find the head of the home, which is the man. You'll find the heart of the home, which is the woman. But then you'll find the hope of the home, which is the children. The three H's of a God-designed home. The head, the heart, the hope. What a blessing it is to have a God-designed home. When men are leading and women are loving, and children are learning, and Christ is central, we can experience God's intention for the family. And that is a joyful home. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a joyful home? My prayer is that you experience Jesus' joy in your home. Not just happiness, which when things are good, then things are good at home, but joy, Jesus' joy. When things are good, that's fine. When things are bad, that's fine. Because you have this unmovable master inside of you, an anchor for the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He truly, truly makes the difference this morning. This morning, I want to look at Hannah's home. Hannah's home. And that's the title of the message. I'll go ahead and tell you, as you read the story, and as we bring the message, we're not going to find a perfect home in Hannah's home. And I'll go ahead and say that there's pretty much, I guess, no one here this morning that also has a perfect home. There are no perfect homes. But Hannah certainly didn't have a perfect home. So what was found in Hannah's home? What kind of things can we glean from Hannah here in the book of 1 Samuel? I do want to say this message isn't just for mothers, but it's for fathers. It's for people who aren't even married or have kids. This is for each and every person here. I promise you, you can glean something from this story concerning Hannah and her home. Number one, let me say, we see Hannah's husband. Hannah's husband. Look, if you would, in verse number one. The Bible says, now there was a certain man of Ramatha'im Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. So in verse number one, we see that Hannah had a husband, and his name was Elkanah. Verse number two alludes to that. Her husband's name was Elkanah. What do we know this morning about Elkanah? First of all, we know that worship was important to him. If you notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Elkanah was a man who placed importance upon worship. This isn't Father's Day, but it does need to be said. Fathers, husbands, need to place an importance upon worship, upon attending the house of God, upon having prayer in your home and upholding godly things in the home. Because it's not just for us husbands and dads that it's good for, but it's good for our wives and it's good for our children. Remember, the husbands are the head of the home, and husbands, dads, believe it or not, agree with me or disagree, you are leading your family somewhere. My prayer is that you're leading them in the ways of the Lord. So this morning we see that Hannah's husband, he placed an importance upon worship. Look at verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. He was a worship man. Now, worship, in a sense as we know it, has to do with what we just did with music and raising our hands. But if you go back and you look at worship in the Old Testament, it's always connected with sacrifice. Sacrifice. So this man, Elkanah, he went yearly to worship, to give up something. He gave great sacrifice for the Lord. And his family knew it. But I want to go a step further concerning Hannah's husband and the importance of sacrifice he placed in his life, in his family's life. I want to say he was a determined worshiper. He was a determined worshiper. Look back at verse number 3, if you would. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Listen to this. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. You say, what does it matter who's at the house of God? It shouldn't matter who's at the house of God. Even when we assemble ourselves together and we come together to worship, it not matter who's here, who's not here. We ought to come and worship the Lord because He is our source. He is our centerpiece. He's the one we worship. But Hophni and Phinehas were there. And let me say that Hophni and Phinehas, they were priests. Their daddy was priest Eli. But Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli the priest, weren't just any priest, they were wicked priests. You can go and read what they did in the house of the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse number 22. I'll read it. The Bible says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. These were wicked men. They were wicked priests. But you know, worship meant so much to Elkanah that he knew they were going to be there. He knew they were wicked. He knew every time he went to the house of the Lord, he would probably see them right in front of his face. Elkanah could have said, you know what, I'm going to stay home from church this go around. Because Hophni and Phinehas, those wicked priests, like to take my sacrifice that I give to the Lord and they like to offer it to him. And I know it's not doing any good if they offer it. I'm just going to stay back and not go to worship today because those two men, they make me angry. And if I see them this Sunday, I may just say something to them. If I see them this Sunday, I may just ball my fist up and call them up front and give them old Popeye the Sailor Man. But you know what? Elkanah had such a place of worship in his heart, and he prioritized worship in his life. He says, I don't care who's at the house of God to try to deter me. I'm going to worship because my worship costs me something. This morning, the best advice I could give about assembling ourselves together is keep your eyes on Jesus and allow Him to take you here, and don't worry about who's here and who's not here, because they ain't the reason you're coming anyway. So we see that Hannah's husband, Elkanah, he had a worship that was important to him. He was a determined worshiper, but he loved Hannah. Look at verse 5. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. We see that he loved Hannah. He would bring the sacrifice yearly to the house of God, the tabernacle. And the part that was for the actual sacrifice went to the priest. But then he gave portions to Peninnah, this other woman, which we're going to bring up in just a moment. And he gave other portions to, the Bible gives reference to, 10 children that Peninnah had, somewhere around in there with Elkanah. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. It was more than he gave to Peninnah or the kids. He laid it on Hannah because he loved Hannah. So we see that Elkanah, Hannah's husband, he loved her. We see he was a determined worshiper. We see that worship was important to him. So this morning we see, when it comes to Hannah's home, we see her husband. Number two, as we continue to look within Hannah's home, not only do we see her husband, but we see Hannah's heart. Her heart. Hannah had a broken heart. She couldn't bear children. Look at verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. This grieved Hannah that she couldn't have kids. This grieved her to the core. I mean, she wouldn't eat anything. She went to the house of worship, but she was of sorrow in heart continually. Hannah had a broken heart. I wonder if there's any women here today who came to Calvary with a broken heart. You may be a mother, you may not be a mother, you may be a single woman. There may be something in your life going on. It is a brokenness of heart that you've carried around and you've carried around and you've carried around. For whatever reason, you have a broken heart. Can I say you're at the right place to have a broken heart? You're at the right place. Most believe Elkanah married Hannah first. Her name is mentioned first. Look in verse 2, chapter 1. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. Hannah was mentioned first. And the name of the other, Peninnah. Most believe Elkanah married Hannah first. But because she couldn't bear children, listen, he invited another woman into the relationship. I don't care this morning, the shows that are on TLC, Sister Wives, Me, Myself, and My Ex, all of that, that is not from God is straight from the devil and from the bowels of his own hell. Polygamy is a sin. Polygamy is not God's design for marriage. God did not endorse this for Elkanah to be married to Hannah and to be married to Peninnah. We have a man who was impatient. We have a man who got ahead of God. The Bible says, don't turn there, but in Genesis chapter 2 concerning marriage, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, singular, not two, wife, not wives, and they shall be one flesh. While I'm on that verse, I love the word cleave there. Let a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That word cleave means to stick like glue. Let me ask you a question, married couples. What kind of glue is in your marriage? Is it Elmer's glue or Gorilla glue? Huh? I remember in school doing that Elmer's glue. Every time I'd open it, I'd have to get a sniff. Elmer's glue. Put all of the papers and then whatever it was, I run home. Look, Mom. Papers just fly everywhere apart. Elmer's glue. I'll tell you what, I have some Gorilla glue at home. And if I knew that that Gorilla glue would hold up a Braves portrait this big, I would hang it on the wall just by putting a dot of Gorilla glue in. Gorilla glue is strong stuff. Let a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Listen, couples, those that are married, when you get married, you encounter difficulty. You stick it out, weather it out as a couple. There's nothing wrong with going to mom and dad for advice. But if you get mad at hubby and you go to your mama and your daddy, oh, you won't believe, I just can't believe I'm ready to kick him to the curb. Sorry, no down rotten scoundrel he is. Daddy's in the back rocking in the chair and he's getting ready. Mama's getting ready to call up, you know, his mama. But a couple of days later, you and hubby work it out. Y'all are on a date, just having a great time. Guess who's still mad over here? Mom and daddy's still mad. Can't wait to run in to hubby. And listen, there have been marriages that have been devoured, destroyed, because one or the other has ran to mom or ran to dad when they've had arguments and things happen. Listen, every married couple argues. If you say we don't argue, then you're lying. And you need to be the first one down here at this altar to get right. Folks, we're talking about two people coming together and creating one life. That's hard to do. It takes years to accomplish. So, when it comes to Hannah's husband, he had two wives. And I believe with all my heart, the reason why he invited this other woman into the relationship is because he wasn't patient with Hannah. He wasn't patient with God. Men, listen. Be patient with your wife. She is not perfect. But listen, husband, you're not perfect either. We're just a bunch of imperfect, unperfect people trying to create one life that works. Be patient with one another. Have tender mercies one toward another. And so she couldn't bear children. This is why her heart was broken. But let me say this. Another reason why Hannah's heart was broken is because she was bullied by the other bride. Hold on now. Wait a minute. She was bullied by the other bride. Look at verse number 6. and her, Bible's very clear, adversary. This other woman wasn't welcomed by Hannah. This other woman didn't want. Hannah did not want this other woman. She was not welcomed by Hannah. This Peninnah was all a decision by her husband, and it was an adversary to Hannah. She had a double broken heart. And her adversary also provoked her sore. For to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. When it comes to Hannah's home, we see she had a broken heart because she couldn't bear children, but because she was bullied by the bride, this other woman. Verse 6, Peninnah tried to make her angry. Look at verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore. The word provoke means to make trouble, to trouble. For to make her fret. That word fret means to thunder. It means to be angry. So this woman, Peninnah, uninvited by Hannah in the marriage, of course she was uninvited because she didn't believe in that. But she came and she was her adversary and she troubled her. She made fun of her and tried to get her to thunder out in anger back at Peninnah. And this continued. She provoked her. She troubled her. Tried to get her discontent with her lot. Oh, Hannah. Hannah Montana. Look at you, spiritual woman. On your face again, crying to your God. I came into this relationship and had 10 children, no problem. Cry me a river, little girl. She provoked her. She wanted Hannah to get discontent with her lot in life. She tried to push her to the edge, to the point where maybe Hannah just might come on the scene and say, hey, pin it all. Pow. We have an enemy this morning, Satan. He's always trying to push us to the edge. He's trying. He's provoking. Somebody's here this morning who came with a heavy heart. The devil is trying to push you over the edge. He wants to push you over the edge so you blow your testimony. He wants to push you over the edge so that the other person, whoever is in your life causing trouble, can say, see there, they're not a Christian like they said they are. See there, they're not super mom or super dad. There's always somebody trying to push us to the edge, isn't there? Hannah's heart was broken. Well, let me say something about this Peninnah. The whole reason why Peninnah was doing this was because Peninnah was so jealous. Because it didn't matter how many kids Peninnah could have, she wasn't the first wife. Didn't matter how many kids Peninnah could have. Didn't matter about the grandkids that would come. None of these things. She could never be the first love. And because of this, because she wasn't Elkanah's first love, she gave trouble after trouble after trouble to Hannah. The devil this morning causes trouble for the Christians. The Christian believer, the devil this morning causes trouble for believers because he's not, because Jesus is our first love. Jesus is the one who saved us. The devil knows he cannot get to us or destroy us or possess us. And he gets so mad and he's so angry and he tries to trouble us because of Jesus being our first love. So Peninnah was jealous because Hannah was his wife first. And she was beloved by Elkanah. Oh, here you go. Here, Peninnah, here's your portion of the sacrifice. Kids, here's yours. Hold on, sweetheart. Hannah, here you go, honey. Here you go. I love you. You're my beloved. Peninnah couldn't stand that. Listen, polygamy is not right. God does not endorse polygamy. But evidently it was tolerated for the moment. There were prices to pay. The house was in disarray. Peninnah was a jealous woman. Hannah was a hurt woman. Something's got to give. Maybe you're here this morning and your house is in disarray. Maybe there's jealousy in the house. Maybe there's prayers that have gone unanswered in the house. God hasn't moved the way you thought he ought to move. Maybe there's all kinds of things going on in the house. If there is, just keep listening and to know you're not alone, because Hannah had a house like that. So we see Hannah's heart. We see her heart. It was broken because she couldn't have children. It was broken because she was bullied by the other bride. But then lastly this morning, we see Hannah's hope. Her husband, her heart, but then her hope. Verse number 19 and 20 tells us that she finally received a child. Take that, Peninnah, and take that, devil. Look at verse 19, chapter 1. And they rose up in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Samuel was Hannah's hope. And Samuel was the hope of the future, hope of the house. And actually, if you go into chapter 2 and look at verse number 21, Hannah had more kids. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. Child Samuel grew before the Lord. When God pours it out on you, he pours it out. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 9. And let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Listen, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those who walk uprightly in him, no good thing will he withhold from thee. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love that you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered and you do minister to the saints. God is a rewarder. He rewarded Hannah. Do you need God to move on your behalf this morning? He'll do it. Just be faithful to him through the process. We know that Samuel would grow up and be used mightily of the Lord. When God blesses, he pours down blessings. Let me say this. She finally received a child, Samuel, but Samuel didn't come without a fight first. Just a summary. First, it was her husband's actions bringing Peninnah on the relationship. And then this fight by which Samuel came, it was being bullied by this bride. And then number 3, it was the great sorrow of heart that she carried daily. Look at verse number 7, chapter 1. That latter part, therefore she wept and did not eat. Look at verse number 8. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse number 15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord," to Eli, who thought she was drunk because she was praying, but no words, only her lips moving. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Verse number 16. "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." In order to get to Samuel being born, there was first a great grief and sorrow of heart to carry. Friend of mine this morning, if you are carrying a heavy heart, could it be that God is preparing your heart for things that will come? In order for there to be well water that you can drink from, there first has to be the hole dug to hold the water. Psalmist says, "While passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." Some of you this morning need to turn your heartache into a help for someone else. Your day's coming. The Lord's not unrighteous to forget about you and what you need. And so we see that there was great sorrow of heart. Samuel didn't come without a fight. And then there was engaging in prayer by which Samuel came. Look at verse number 10 again. "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed." Let me ask you, what do you plug into when you're in bitterness of soul? I have to constantly remind myself the best thing for me to do when life is ugly is to tell Jesus about it and go to Him. There is no pill. There is no drink. There's not even a buffet big enough to eat away my problems. Huh? The best place to go when you're experiencing bitterness of soul is go to Jesus. Tell Jesus all about your struggles. Tell Jesus all about your troubles. He will be there for you. The Bible says that He is a very present help in time of trouble. He is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Run to Jesus this morning. Verse number 12 says, "And it came to pass as she continued praying." Listen, you prayed for a little while. Answer hadn't came, has it? Can I challenge you to continue praying? Because real prayer is not really operating as effectually as it can until you pray with absolutely no glimpse of things turning to your benefit or your favor. When it looks like it will no way, no how turn out in your favor, keep praying. Because the fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Keep praying, child of God. Keep praying, visitor, this morning. Hannah kept praying. Verse 13. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." Listen, when you do pray, you do not necessarily have to get on your knees or lay prostrate. That's up to you. You don't even have to say words. Sometimes we don't have the words to say. Romans says the Holy Spirit interprets that. But here, she was... Have you been so heavy-hearted that you just couldn't put a voice box with it? Honestly, nobody laughing. You're hurting so bad, you don't have the energy to utter the words. So you mouth them. Hannah was this woman. Her husband invited someone in the home. She couldn't bear children. She was bullied by this other woman. All she wanted was God to give her a man child, and she would even give him back to the Lord. She was asking in the perfect will of God. Children are a blessing. They're a heritage of the Lord. God shall save her by giving us children. She wasn't asking amiss. But she engaged in prayer. She continued in prayer. Even when she didn't have a voice box to put with it, she prayed. Look at verse 16. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. I'm trying to tell you this morning that Samuel didn't come without a fight. She engaged in prayer, Hannah did. She had great sorrow of heart. She was bullied by the bride, troubled by her husband's actions. And then my last point, under my third point, my last point or my last letter, she was at peace. Look at verse 17 as they want to come, as they make their way. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. Look at this. So the woman went her way. And here's a good sign. She was at peace and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. Hannah finally broke through. Even before Samuel even came, she fought. She wrestled. She put up with stuff she shouldn't have to put up with, but she put up with it because she wanted to be a faithful wife. She stayed in prayer. She engaged in prayer. She continued in prayer. And finally, God answered her prayer that was in the perfect will of God. I don't know what you're praying for this morning, but a good place to start, if it seems like there's no answer, when in all actuality there's always an answer, it's either yes, no, or not right now from the Lord. Ask yourself, am I praying about something that will benefit my and enhance my walk with God? Is what I'm wanting, will it benefit and enhance my walk with God? If it won't, that may be the reason why it's been delayed. If you pray and or you ask yourself, will this enhance, will this be okay on my walk with God? Listen, we're to pray about everything. Everything. And if it will not hurt your walk with God and there's still a delay, then you're just going through a waiting process for whatever reason. But he's always answering prayer. Sometimes he does it instantaneously. Sometimes he does it gradually. But he always answers prayer. We see Hannah's hope. We see Hannah's heart and Hannah's husband. The message this morning was about Hannah's home. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for all things. Thank you for the mothers that are here represented today. While it's Mother's Day, Lord, the message is for all of us. We can all benefit. Thank you, God, for liberty and just a closeness to you this morning, Lord, to be able to be the mouthpiece that you'd have us be. Give liberty during this time of invitation. Move hearts. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's